It's dark. It's Monday night. It means we're barking. Right? Yeah, we are barking. It's listen to this after dark. And I'm not gonna lie, man. I could have went to sleep 30 minutes ago.
I'm with you, buddy.
I could have been in bed 30 minutes ago. I took my family to Asheville this weekend. We had a blast, but I'm exhausted. But I'm really excited about tonight's show. We got Dan Inman, massive offensive lineman, iconic picture of him dominating two LSU guys back in 2004. He played with Mike Bobo as a coach at Georgia, and then he also worked with Mike Bobo as an offensive graduate assistant at Georgia. I just want to talk to him a little bit about that. And the same thing we've talked about with everybody else, Roos, just good stories. What hotels have you stayed in that are crappy? What are we drinking on? All that stuff. We got all of it coming tonight, and not the greatest time in the world to be a sports fan, especially if you're not a big basketball fan, which I'm just such a casual. It's a tough time of year for that.
It's awful. It's pretty much the doldrums. And I tell people, look, I don't keep up with anything else, to be honest with you. I don't keep up with basketball. I don't keep up with baseball at all. I know you're a big Braves guy. I don't watch any of that. I don't watch any college baseball, nothing like that. I've really kind of tuned out of the NFL the last couple of years because the Falcons have been so bad. So I mostly only follow Georgia football for the large part. And so it's a tough time of year. It's even tough, recruiting's 24/7. It happens all the time, right? But it's even tough on that regard because we're so far away from signing day. Like, we almost couldn't be further away from the next signing period. It's the longest stretch. So you got to take everything the kids say with a grain of salt. It's just tough, man. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to it being over. The big one for me, honestly, is the NFL draft. I love the draft. I'm a huge draft guy. And I also love the Masters.
Obviously. Yeah.
And those are the two big things I look forward to in this time of year.
I'm fired up about the Masters. I'm still kind of holding out hope against hope that I'll be able to get in and enjoy that, because, man, it was something else last year. And I stacked up a lot of plastic cups, man, a lot of plastic cups. I didn't steal a single one. I wasn't like that legendary photo of that guy behind there, but I guess it's a good segue. Yeah. Roos, what you drinking?
So I'm back on the train tonight. I was taking a break last week. This week I'm drinking Squeezy Rider by Deschutes, an IPA, West Coast IPA. A really nice one. I'm really enjoying it. Deschutes out of, gosh, where are these guys at? Oh, Bend, Oregon. And I've had some of their stuff before in other times that I visited Oregon. I drank some Deschutes quite a bit. Went out there for the opening a couple of times. That was a good time. So really nice, really tropical. Good idea. Yeah.
Last I checked, Bend, Oregon is the only place with a living Blockbuster.
That is correct. I don't know why. Somehow I just Googled Bend, Oregon like 2 days ago.
Well, taking you guys back to a little history, when the pandemic was going on, we had a buddy, we've mentioned him before on the podcast, Zach Thrower, who put together a trivia thing that we would do, virtual trivia on Zoom. And it was actually pretty fun. We had a good time doing it. And I remember when it was my time to put together trivia, that was one of my trivia questions. And I'll, one of the things that I've put together trivia a few times. I know you have too, at a brewery there. Where you're at, it's when I put together trivia, I will remember the answer to that question.
Yeah, no question.
Something about the reverse engineering of it. But yeah, that's something I'll always remember. And I don't know if it's still there, but like I said, last I checked, it was the site of the last functioning one. I'm on the ranch water kick tonight. I am, a little Espolón Reposado with a squeeze of lime and some Topo Chico seltzer water. Or mineral
Reposado,
water.
Reposado is an interesting choice, it seems like to me, because I would think that you would want to go with like the silver, right? Like,
I'm a big Reposado guy. I really am. If I drink it by itself, it's either Reposado or an Añejo, extra Añejo. And then Blanco is a good mixing tequila. Blanco's a little sharp for me. Not my big thing, but I know Matthew C. loves those ranch waters. And I do too, man. It was funny last summer. went on vacation, and a good friend of mine who might be listening to this podcast, I know he listens to or listening to the show. I know he listens to the Georgia show, Chris Irvin. He works with Publix. And he was, you know, he got to talking about kind of this whole ranch water phenomenon. And the reason was, is there's not a whole lot to it. There's a little bit of lime juice in it and mineral, you know, zero calorie mineral water and tequila. And you're just kind of like, oh, wow, here we go. But yeah, I do love good bourbon. I do, but it's Monday night, man. And I'm not going to be featuring the bourbons on here a whole lot.
Yeah. I gotta,
it's so hard to get a hold of what I like.
I gotta stay away from dark liquor on Mondays. Yeah. it's a long week ahead for dark liquor drinking. I've really just backed off of liquor in a big way. Which I think you might agree is probably a good idea for me.
Yeah. If we just get you off the shots, it's okay.
Yeah, just the bombs, right?
No bombs.
Yeah. If you want to see, yeah, if we want to figure out the effect of Red Bull and alcohol on somebody, we just need to damnate my body to science, because I put it through the ringer with that shit. I'll be honest with you, I hadn't had a bomb in probably 2 years almost.
Yeah, it would probably send you on some sort of unclothed romp through the mountain. Speaking of unclothed romp through the mountains, I think we got Dan Inman with us.
I don't think his camera's not working yet.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So he's, you know, they pay him to look pretty, not to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. So where's he at?
Maybe. Nope.
Dan in the dark. Dan in the dark, and we're going to bark. We just build a whole thing around it.
No, I'm excited. I'm excited to get Dan on, because I think Dan's going to give us some really nice perspective on this Mike Bobo thing. I mean, to know him personally, to work alongside the guy, you know, I think one of the big things that I'm definitely going to talk to him about is adaptability. You know, I think that's been one of the big concerns that a lot of people have had, and I think in working with the guy that you'll be able to pick that out pretty quickly. You know, how adaptable is he? And I don't know. I mean, it feels like there was that initial pop of concern, and it feels like things have kind of died down and gotten back to normal for the most part. I think we're at the acceptance phase of grief for people who hate Mike Bobo at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I think also people just understand, like, at some point, you know, like, this is part of the acceptance phase, and this is where it should stop, to be honest with you. You can't grieve before something happens. But I think with it, you just kind of have to get to the thing that's like, you got no say. You got no, and everybody does get there, but man, it takes some people a long time to get there. They got to cycle through it several times. And, you know, I just think it's a little bit, I know some folks get real fired up about it. You know, they like being able to call it before it happens. And, you know, because they're disappointed in it, they want to set it up in their own way, so that it happens the way it happens. You know, I don't know. It's beneficial all around, right? Well, I just look at it as kind of like, man, each of these things are in and of themselves, you know, individual. And unlike a Brian Schottenheimer and unlike a James Coley, Mike Bobo has actually done it really well a few times. You know, and you know, he hadn't been an OC that long and hadn't had a ton of opportunities to do very many, you know, just special things as an offensive coordinator in terms of winning a bunch of games, because they just struggled so bad defensively. We've pointed out the stats as far as that goes. But you know, what we do know is that he can do it, and he can do it in different ways, and he's had different trends throughout his career. I think Dan will be able to give us some insight on there. I might have to end up using his phone to get that camera thing going.
I hate to leave you for just a second, but something weird has happened in my house. I'm going to step away very briefly.
Okay, here we go. This is it. This is it. Leave the camera on. Just take it with you real quick. I got a filibuster here. I think Jake Roos may be about to get attacked by some meth heads, which would be, you know, great to have on camera. I'm not sure what we would do without him for the rest of the show, because I don't really live near Roos anymore. We got somebody coming on here.
Give you some help, Jay.
Here's producer Palmer rolling in here. And he's muted. Nobody makes it look harder than Palmer Toms.
I shouldn't be muted.
You were for there for a second.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, I got you. Verizon wireless style. Great show tonight, guys. We are just flying. I love live YouTubes, baby. I don't know what we're talking about here. I don't know what we're going to do. I'm on pins and needles wondering if Roos is ever going to come back. We're just
concerned about Jake Roos.
Yeah, we're just worried, is he ever going to come back? Matthew C. is going to write a book on this. he's going to write. Bob, we need to tweet about it. Will Jake Roos return to us?
That's
Jake Roos has left us on Bark After Dark.
Device not connected. I mean, we might have lost him.
Uh-oh. Well, I'm seeing him still in there. All right, so Palmer, let's ask you some of the questions that we have been asking ourselves. And one of the things I want to hear you answer, worst hotel room you've ever stayed in? I know that's a Roos question, but we need to hear it.
So for me, I would say there's two that come to mind. And both of them came during last football season, the 2021 season, not the 22 season. You've got good taste in booking hotel rooms. I can't remember what hotel it was, but in Auburn we stayed in a smoking room.
Yeah, she's a bad choice.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we might have been the last person to book a spot in said hotel. I know you are a advocate for making that a day trip, not staying in a hotel at all.
Yeah, I don't need to be on the planes very long.
And then there were some cockroaches in my Knoxville hotel room, which adds up with that town.
Yeah, I love some hot dogs in here. Daniel knocking on Roos's door to use the camera.
Yeah. Not a big Tennessee guy over here.
Yeah. I usually enjoy myself in Knoxville. I have a pretty good time up there. I told you, though, one of the things I did tell you coming into this year, though, Lexington, you got to keep an eye on Lexington. Very sneaky good. And I think we had a good time in Lexington this past year.
We did. You didn't enjoy the drive, but
He's live, and I'm happy.
Oh, boy. Welcome back, everybody. All right. We
didn't know what happened.
Listen, I've told you there's
– Is that a paternity suit?
I purchased this property. I recently bought my house, and I'm really taking a shot here on – oh, well, hold on. There's another knock at the door. Let's go see what's happening again.
Oh, my God.
I can't tell
how horrible or how good this is, because I'm like, I am very interested in what's going on. I think the good thing is, I think Roos may be just going to live through this. Oh, my God. Yeah, Matthew C., you're right. That is the Bulldog Inn, talking about bad hotels, just a little bit north of Athens.
Yeah.
On 441 on the way to Commerce. Disgusting type place. And yeah, Dylan Brooks, it might be Bigfoot at Roos's door. So the one in Auburn, and then you said one in Tennessee, was that right?
Yeah, Knoxville wasn't great last year.
Yeah. So what did you like about Lexington? For those, hit us up in the comments if you like Lexington, Kentucky. If you're listening to the podcast, sorry, it's not the greatest engagement, but
one of our booth posters was disappointed that I wasn't making the trip up there for the basketball game this year.
Yeah.
Just knowing how great that town is. I mean, Jake, you were absolutely right you can just, you know, blindly choose a place in Lexington anywhere within that town and have a great time.
Yeah.
And we did. Oh, look, we got Dan in here. So I'll turn it over to you. And you and Dan, and we can talk about Lexington and horror stories of hotels another time with me.
All right. What's up, Big Dan? How's it going, dude?
Good. Let me I'm trying to get a good connection with you.
Okay.
Okay. I had my computer right there beside the phone.
Yeah, for some reason, it's real. We're getting some real grainy. We're getting some feedback.
Yeah. You want me to try to enter again?
Yeah, try to give us another shot and get in there. Hit start over. Guys, technical difficulty tonight on tonight's show. Oh my God. We've been on for 15 minutes. This is terrible.
This is riveting, as Dylan.
And really, nobody is to blame. And that's the thing. Jake Roos may have puncture wounds. We don't know. we're praying not. Thoughts and prayers with Jake Roos. But yeah, Chad Dog, you're right. Dan Emman, that is one of the greatest SI photos ever. Oh, Dan,
I've got it pulled up, waiting for him to come on.
At least you all have seen Dan's face now, and you know that we know him. You know that he is a big time celebrity. And Matthew C, yes, that's that insult to Georgia Tech. If you did not see that story that Palmer wrote up today from that video released by that player from Georgia Tech who talked about how the Georgia defense made it seem like they were playing on a 30-yard field, and how Jalen Carter in the third quarters just gave him the most unusual dig ever. He says, you guys aren't prepared. I mean, what a dry insult.
We got Dan in here again.
Okay.
And I'm back.
Now our house is full. Dan has not joined us yet. Maybe he'll be in here. He was with us a minute ago.
Well, we're just swinging tonight.
This is
a real life podcast put up by real life people. We're doing it live every Monday night.
So what's going on at your door right now, dude?
I've told you this about I live in Tennessee. I live in Tennessee by about 80 feet. Okay, so I'm a resident of Copper Hill, Tennessee, which is the adjacent town of McKaysville, where I grew up. I couldn't be any closer to the state line. I bought this property. I love where I live. Because I can walk to town. It's cool. There's a couple breweries down here. You know, it's small, but it's fun. There's enough to do. My neighborhood is not exactly the nicest neighborhood that you've ever been to in your life. There's some the greater tri-state area here. So I'm in kind of I'm in where Tennessee, Georgia, and North Carolina all run into each other. And because there are three states so close, and you're not too far from Atlanta, you're not too far from Chattanooga, and you're not too far from Asheville, some major interstates running around all of those. There's a fair amount of methamphetamine in my neighborhood, and there's a fair amount of cooking it. And luckily though, that's not what tonight had to do with. I have a very sweet older woman who lives next door to me. The people who live with her are not the sweetest people that I've ever encountered. They're fine. They don't bother me or anything. They're just, they're a little strung out.
Yeah.
But at any rate, she apparently had lost her cell phone, and she doesn't have a car. And so she needed to borrow my cell phone. And now it appears they're all outside screaming at each other, which is a pretty regular occurrence in the, you know, when they're not building sheds or setting up their tents or whatever they do. This guy up in here talking about method. Yeah, that's true.
They're there. Second worst thing never happened to Copper Hills, outside of the Copper Basin.
Yeah, no question, man.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it is. It's a crazy place, man. And I'm glad I it's home for me and I love it. And I tell people all the time, they're like, this is where I grew up. And so I'm used to it. I think it freaks a lot of people out, but it's just what it is, man. It's always been this way, especially Copper Hill. You know, it's a little rougher part of town. And like I said, we're just kind of betting on the neighborhood coming up. Hope that was a good investment.
I think you missed Dan Emman coming in here gargling gravel a little bit ago.
When he started talking, I thought we were joined by Lucifer himself.
Oh, he's trying to summon some demons on us.
Speaking backward,
Listen, anytime this happens, anytime you got a show. Now, we had a contingency built in if Dan had problems or if Dan had something pop up. You've always got to be ready for that. We didn't have a contingency built in place that somebody's going to start knocking on Roos's door.
That's true.
Right? So we've done the best we can. Let's get to the part of the show until Dan gets here that we kind of wanted to get after. And Roos, let me tell you something, man. We talk about, you know, some of the things that we've done over the years, and Palmer and I have done this probably more than you and I have, even though you and I have done it several times. But yeah, share a hotel room with somebody. You get the videos going of Stone Cold ET or That Ain't No Water. That's Grey Goose. You know, you get a little Tom Segura, a little Burt Kreischer, Nate Bargatze, a little comedy going. What's your go-to on the comedy front? You need a good laugh. You need something to pick you up. I know that Stone Cold ET is close to the heart, but is there anything that beats it?
Yeah, no, that Stone Cold ET is close to my heart for sure. I think I showed you that, if I'm not mistaken. I think I may have brought that to you.
I had seen it. I think you showed me the White Castle one for the first time.
I think that's the only one.
There's another one. He does some other stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Not a lot of other stuff, but I'm
going to pretend that's the only one because there's no way the other ones are.
I had seen a Stone Cold ET video once or twice.
Yeah,
but I had never seen one that was that. I mean, they just crushed it. I mean, it's just perfect.
Yeah. So I'll tell you, like, not even when I'm necessarily looking for a laugh, but like you said, pick me up. And the first thing that came to my mind is Bill Hicks did a great special back in the 80s. He does this piece called It's Just a Ride. And that's how it's often quoted. And he just talks about how life is this ride. And we're on this ride and it's ups and downs and thrills and chills and, you know, it's just a very uplifting piece for me. The idea being that we can change the ride anytime that we want to. And I always thought that that was just a really beautiful, I thought that was a really beautiful piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm good on that one. That's one of my favorites. I don't know if you've seen We're All Innocent Men lately. Have you seen that one? Are you familiar with this one? You got to find that, dude. When we get the show done tonight, it is. I have laughed. It's like haunted me. Like I've been thinking about it for days. I saw it and
what is it?
It's this clip from this children's show in London, I think. It's a BBC children's show. And it's this puppet talking and for whatever reason, he just says, we're all just innocent men. There's no context to what he's saying. It's out of nowhere. The girl it catches completely off guard who's hosting the show. It's totally bizarre, but it's.
Does he just say it over and over?
Really, really. No. She's just talking to him. And like the clip is just, he looks at her and he's like, we're just normal men. And she goes, well, what do you mean normal men? And he goes, we're just innocent men. And, then, and there's like there's no context at all, dude.
Yeah, that's a good one, man. Yeah, that does sound like it's pretty dry. And the Stone Cold ET thing's a go-to. You know, I showed Palmer that here recently. Palmer's got some good zingers on his side too. You know, one of the things that Palmer and I have been known to do is you know, you spend time on the road quoting movies, just trying to get through the drive, because God, there's nothing I hate worse than driving or riding in a car for more than 20 or for more than a couple hours. And we did that a couple times this year. There, Roos is gone again. We do have a Beavis and Butthead sequel. Apparently Bark After Dark was not a good idea tonight because it's hard to keep Roos on the air. But yeah, one of the things, I mean, we're big on comedy. We listen to a lot of it. We like to laugh. And one of our favorite things, is the other guys. The other guys. I mean, one of the best. You ever seen The Other Guys, Roos?
You know, I actually have not.
Oh God, it's so
I've good. Not. I've heard you talk about it several.
Yeah, it's really good, man. It's really good. It's one of the last, like, you know, kind of silly comedies that I think was great. You know, we get into a lot of Will Ferrell stuff. Just getting a lot of cinema anyway, but Tom Segura is a go-to comedian.
He's a genius.
Some of the best stuff out there. You know, one of the funny things is Bill Burr, right? When I first got into recruiting and covering recruiting, you're driving across the state. You're trying to find anything and everything to listen to. And I wasn't making enough money then to afford XM radio, and I don't think I had a car nice enough for it either. So I would listen to Pandora a lot, Pandora radio. and a ton of like Hannibal Buress and Bill Burr radio. Then Bill Burr comes to the Classic City, and to let you guys know how long ago this was in Bill Burr's career, he did a meet and greet after the show. And there's a photo out there somewhere of me like posing with Bill Burr because I was just so proud. And he wasn't with it. Like, he was just starting to get to where he wanted to break out of there. I believe that was the last time he visited the Classic. Sorry, not the Classic, the Georgia Theater. And yeah, man, he did like an hour. I'm telling you, man, I'd never heard it before. I listened to that, what I thought everything he had lets you know how big of geniuses these guys are. That he did an hour in Athens that I had never even heard before. And I'd just been listening to him nonstop, hours and hours and hours on Pandora radio and nothing. So he's also my go-to as well.
No, it changes. I think it really changes your perspective when you see a comedian live and he's able to do that, you know, stuff. Like I remember I saw Chappelle in Birmingham, Alabama with my dad at the BJCC. And it was almost like unscripted. Like they were like, it was almost like he had a couple bullet points he wanted to get to, but most of the time he was just riffing and telling stories. And it was so impressive to watch it all happened like right in front of you. I couldn't believe it. It was stunning.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this show earlier tonight, you know, I mean, you're up there. There is nothing. I'm up here on film. Like, we can just end this thing and get out of here without, you know, I don't have to walk past anybody to leave.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, man. I mean, it's nuts as far as all of that goes. And then, you know, I don't know, man. There's so much time that you're out there just trying to kill when you're doing this job. It's sometimes that whole hurry up and wait is such a big part of it. Entertainment's a big part of it. Have you ever, let me ask you this, when you've been out on the road and you've been out covering stuff, have you ever just happened into a good situation in terms of like found some entertainment, found a concert, found a band, you know, by being out and about? Have you ever kind of...
No, not really. I think, you know, I love to travel. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy it, but I'm a big homebody. And like, especially when I've been out traveling and stuff, like I've, you know, for the most part, especially like for work, for this job, if I've been able to drive, like I'm cool to work till 1-2 o'clock in the morning and hey, let's take it home. You know, like I'm not trying to hang out or anything like that. If I've visited other cities, I don't know that I've necessarily caught anything.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more looking, I'm like you, or I guess, you know, that's part of the reason we get along. Like when I go to another city, I'm looking for breweries and I'm looking for restaurants. That's what I'm seeking out every time. So, you know, I'm not checking. I gotta tell you, man, the older I get, I'm just not like a concert guy much anymore. It's gotta be a very rare, it's somebody I've really been wanting to see for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I just don't do well with crowds anymore, man. I don't like it. I don't like, you know, waiting in line for bathrooms. I don't like paying $9 for a beer. I don't like, you know, it all just kind of drives me crazy. And it disgusts me because I feel like that makes me sound like the oldest man on earth. But,
I technically didn't know it. It was a weird interaction. Whenever I was in, what we got? We got somebody here. We got Dan.
We got some action. It's all coming together.
What's up, dude?
Hey.
What's going on, man?
I got it working.
Okay.
MacGyver.
Yeah, we're glad, dude. We're glad you got it working because we were over here in Braves rain delay.
Oh, I could hear you. I was trying to get the camera fixed on my wife's laptop.
I ain't even gonna tell you.
Yeah, I am gonna tell you. There's a little switch right here on the camera.
Yeah.
And that's why it was black.
I ain't even gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you.
I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna spill the beans.
Well, it's good to have you, man. It's really good to talk to you. You put a lot of years in at Georgia. How many total?
Let's see, 5 playing and then 4 coaching. Yeah, 3 or 4 coaching.
That's awesome, man. So let me ask you this. Let's start at the beginning before we get into some, because I know Roos is going
to want to. Hey, get closer to that mic.
Yeah, you got to get closer to it.
Yeah, there you go.
No, yeah. So I know Roos is going to want to kind of get into you know, the Bobo connection here. But, you know, for those who aren't familiar with you, for those that kind of became fans maybe last 10, 15 years or so, where'd you come from? How'd you get to Georgia?
All right. So I'm from North Carolina, and I was actually committed as a sophomore to East Carolina because my dad played there and was inducted in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, I wanted to follow my dad's footsteps, but as I got bigger, as I got older, and as the recruiting started picking up, you know, I decommitted from East Carolina, but I'll never forget Coach Bobo handwrote me a letter and told me that if I ever changed my mind, that he would like to show me what University of Georgia offered. And I always remembered that. And then I decommitted, and it got word got out. He came by to see me. It was actually funny because it was when he had gotten in the scooter accident. And I think they were in Hawaii. And so he had on a boot. And I'll never forget, I was picking on him about the boot and the scooter accident. And we hit it off really good. And then Coach Callaway kind of took over, and I went on an official visit. I actually went to a football. I went to Georgia Auburn when Cadillac Williams, and it was 01. Cadillac Williams had like a $150, and the defense, it came down to a goal line stand, and it was the best college football game I'd ever seen in my life. Fans were awesome. Stadium was awesome. Georgia Auburn, goal line stand. You know, we lost that game. UGA lost that game, but it won me over. And then, of course, Coach Rick recruited me pretty hard, and I went on an official visit. My second official visit after Virginia, I went to Virginia when Al Groh had took over there. And they were going after some big recruits with the NFL-type recruiting. And anyway, I took an official visit there. I liked it. But nothing like Athens, man. It won me over. My sister came with me on my official visit, and she was actually thinking about going to grad school here and UGA. And anyway, needless to say, Coach Rick won me over and, you know, started my journey at UGA. Wasn't very well known, didn't know a whole lot of guys. Tell you the truth, when they dropped me off, I think I knew Josh Brock. I knew the name because he was my roommate, but Josh had came in early, so I was all by myself. We signed, I think, Jake, you might know as good as I, we signed like 8 linemen that year.
Yeah, signed a lot of linemen because when the coach took over, it was a bunch of juniors.
Yeah, needless to say, though, out of that class, man, it was me and Max Jean were the only ones that the only ones that survived, man. We were right. The only ones that made it through.
It was you at Bartley Miller.
Bartley and, Miller. He ended up medicaling. Yeah. Josh Brock ended up medicaling.
Jake Gaines, I believe, was one of them. He never made it anywhere.
Big Sap. You remember Big Sap? Big Sap was from
Tommy Gaines.
Washington.
Yeah, I was about to say Gaines.
Yeah, not Jake Gaines. Tommy Gaines.
He was after me. He was a little bit after me.
Oh, was he after you? Yeah, I remember that name. He never did any. Yeah, there were a lot of guys, man. Y'all had a rash of shoulders and medicals and
it was all crazy,
stuff,
man.
On the O-line and, there for a little while. Just tough run of luck.
And the only thing I can say about me and never having any shoulder injuries was growing up. I grew up in my family owned a water park. Not my immediate family, my great uncle, and it was this redneck water park, country water park, had tire swings and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, I grew up climbing ladders, man, my whole life. And I really do think that that's why I never had any shoulder injuries. I was always climbing ladders and built up quite the good shoulders. So,
well, Roos, I don't know if you've ever seen Dan Emmett in person, but Dan's a great big old human being, and it just kind of cracks me up to think about him climbing all over the place.
Oh, man, doing backflips. I was a big monkey, man.
So Fayetteville, North Carolina, right? That's the kind of the area?
Yeah, Fayetteville was what I claim. Hope Mills is actually the
right
town I was from. I made sure that they put Hope Mills up there to represent the outskirts of Fayetteville. So,
wait, where was this water park? I want to know that.
It was at the end of my road that I grew up on. My great grandfather actually built it, and it was a pretty neat deal. It was funneled in through a lake, so they funneled in lake water into a. It was about 3 miles radius of white beach sand, man. It was so it was there? Lake water, like, and it turned into like pool water. It chlorined and all that stuff. And
does this still exist?
It was high dives and Tarzan swings, and it was you can look it up online.
Is it there still?
Yeah, Fantasy Lake. No, it's not there anymore. That's kind of people bought it.
It reminds me of this place. For those of folks listening and watching, if you've ever been down to South Georgia, there's a place called Crystal Lake down there, down around Ocilla, Georgia, where something similar was done. It sounds like ours may have been like more of a touristy type deal as to whereas yours might have been more of a local deal. But either way, because this had a bunch of slides and stuff like that. It weren't a bunch
yeah,
of swings.
That's ours did too.
It yeah, was, okay. Yeah, maybe it's, very it's similar. It's a
pretty
then.
Big deal, man. People came from all over, man. Tell you the truth. Oh, okay. It's a pretty big tourist attraction. But I grew up working down there from probably the time I could, I don't know, 8, 9, 10. I mean, I grew up working down there picking up cigarette butts from when I was a kid. He paid me $1, like $1 an hour or something. It was something horrific.
Yeah, there's money in it for a kid to pick up cigarette butts. It ain't good money, but it's money.
Oh yeah.
So Roos, get us into the Bobo questions here. I want to give Dan a chance to talk about him because
sure. No, yeah. Dan, I wanted to ask you. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of reaction to the news that Mike Bobo was going to be the new offensive coordinator, both positive and negative, depending on who you ask. I'm just curious, first off, how you received the news when you first heard of it. You know, what was your feeling when you first heard that Mike Bobo is going to be taking over the Georgia offense again?
I think it was LFG exclamation mark 10 times and boom. It was quite the excitement. I was excited. I tell you what, getting a coach there, man, getting a coach there with Coach Bobo, not only playing when he was an assistant and his intensity and all that, but his intensity as a coordinator. And, you know, I always said he almost has this O-line type intensity, which I think comes from his dad because his dad was an O-line coach. He always got this special love for the O-line. You can tell that by Coach Bobo. And, you know, him and Coach Searles work together, which is just – I mean, that is just, you know, just sugar in the tea. Being back together like they were and let's see, Searles was there, what, 07?
Yeah, right.
07 uh-huh. to like 10 or something like that, like three yep. years. But – I think they're going to do good together, man. They, and I tell you, just watching from the couch and watching from my seat this past year, you know, you can see a little bit of Bobo in there. You can see a little Bobo in that offense.
What do you mean by that? When you see Bobo, when you say I see Bobo in that offense, what are you seeing? What are you looking at that makes you?
Well, and I think it comes a lot from Monkey because if you kind of know historically where Coach Bobo. You know, he got a lot of stuff from Coach Gruden going down and meeting Young when he got the coordinating position when Coach Rick gave it to him, and a lot of learning the pro style and what they were doing with run checks and formations and how you formation people to what you want and don't run bad plays. You know, Coach Bubba always said don't run bad plays, and he takes pride in that, putting the players in the position to make. Really good plays. And, you know, when I was there, we were stricken with some ACLs and you know, we were putting up 500 and something yards with receivers not at the caliber that they are now, let's just say that.
Right.
They were good receivers and good kids and loved Georgia and played hard. But I'm eager to see what he does with the talent that we have now.
Well, you know, and I, another thing that I think a lot of I heard from a lot of people, And I don't feel this way, but I did hear this. And I'm curious, as somebody who was coached under and then also had a chance to work alongside him in the coaching ranks, a lot of people seem concerned that Mike Bobo is inflexible and that Mike Bobo is going to do what Mike Bobo did at Georgia, you know, 10, 12 years ago. You know, is your, I mean, I'm just curious as to, you know, how you would respond to those thoughts. I mean, it is
my, well, I would respond to that because being a coach myself, you know, Coach Bobo has been a head coach. He's been a coordinator at other places. He's grown, and that's what you do as a coach. And if you're a coach that never wants to learn, you're not going to be a very successful coach. I think Kirby is a great example of that. You know, he said he's always eager to learn. He's always eager to cut on film somewhere and talk to somebody that knows something. And if you're talking to somebody that don't know anything, then why are you talking to them? You know? And I think Coach Bobo has had an opportunity to grow. He's been around different people, been around different systems. I would think the complete opposite because he's such a coach's son. He's a sponge, you know. He soaks up everything he can learn about X's and O's. And not only that, but I tell you this, Coach Bobo is the coach that he's going to get the most out of you. There's no doubt. He's going to push you, and I think that's the culture that's built at UGA right now, you know. Push the players to where they can be their best, and let's put them in the best position to win.
All right, Dan, getting on to another subject here. Let me you're a player. Let's just go back to your playing days, and you're headed back home to Hope Mills, North Carolina. What are you calling ahead? What are you calling ahead to mom or grandma or whoever, dad, saying, hey, have it cooked when I get back because I this is what I need to eat?
Well, that's going on, but it's Thanksgiving. My mom makes coconut cream pies, and she would bring me one down for Thanksgiving, which was always Georgia Tech, and she brought me a pie to myself, man. Coconut cream pie, and she got the recipe from my grandma, who passed away when I was born. But anyway, it's my dad's favorite and my favorite, and no doubt, man, that'd be sitting there waiting on me.
World-class coconut cream pie from Hope Mills, North Carolina, baby.
That's right. You don't become a lineman not eating coconut cream pie.
Man, you don't become a lineman not eating anything, man. It's all on board.
You know, what's funny about that, some folks may remember this years ago, Jim Chaney spoke to reporters, I believe it was before the 2017 season, and they were talking about – he was talking about how he goes splitting the ball up, splitting the carries up, and he's like, I look at it like pie because I like pie. and you know, obviously, you know, you look at Jim Chaney, you can tell he likes to eat, and folks love to make their jokes about that. Well, I caught him at Justin Fields' baseball game a year later, maybe not quite even that. And I was talking to him, and I was like, man, I tell you what, dude, you had us cracking up preseason with that pie comment. He goes, I do like pie, man. Hey, and he said, and then that's when he said coconut cream pie. So
I think Coach Chaney and Coach Pittman have a lot of the same personalities, man. And I got to work with Coach Pittman at UNC.
That's right, you did. You were the one who was telling me that.
Yeah, 2009.
The handwritten letter deal, the sitting down with
man,
his notebook.
He had me laughing consistently, man. It was just, he's just so funny and so witty, and always had a joke. He always had a joke, and fire up the jukebox now, he had that even back then.
I'll tell you what, man, that speech he made before the Texas game, when he's like, them fans all in here, that other team in here, let's lock the gates. He wanted everybody in there, and they whipped them. They beat them down pretty good. It's been fun to see him win some of the games.
I'm a Coach Pitt fan, man. I pull for Coach Pittman.
I'm curious, Dan. You know, we got your young self here up on the screen. You can see what a handsome.
Yeah,
young
that
man.
Don't look like a happy face, man. That looks like it looks like I'm getting a little teed over
that's,
there.
That's the man Ken Shackelford on the other side of you, right?
Yeah, that's Ken, and then I can see Big Chester's big old head back there.
Yeah,
and it's funny because I can tell you Seth Watts. Is the one in between in the back, and then that is Chris Abbott, man. And I don't know if you've heard, man. Chris Abbott just passed away, man.
I did hear that.
Yeah, Yeah, he had some complications with some his liver and all. I talked, you know, they do the Bulldog versus breast cancer, his family.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
for sure.
You know, Chris will be remembered there. We're gonna remember him this week. But great human being, great kid, man.
Well, I wanted to ask you,
always
though,
enjoyed him.
We got that picture on there, and you're the first former player that we've had on here. I'm just curious, man. You know, what's it like to see? You know, you guys set the groundwork for a lot of what's happened, but to see where it is now, man. I mean, what's that feel like for you to see?
Cannot be happier. Like it's just such a relief. You sit back and we're finally at the top, man. And I'm not the biggest crap talker. I really not. I just always take it with a grin and smile. And now we win a lot and a lot of smiles. And, you know, I always support my Georgia stuff, and big advocate of Kirby, man. He's done such a great job, and he makes us proud. You know, I'll never forget, he was the running back coach in 05. And I'll never forget, man, I used to laugh and pick because how tough he was on the running backs. And they weren't kind of used to that, you know. And I got to kick back and laugh a little bit because, you know, I had Coach Callaway the possum. He never let up. And Kirby was on the running backs pretty hard. And that was kind of fun to watch.
So, speaking of that running back room, Thomas Brown, OC in the NFL now.
I know, man, yeah. And couldn't be happier. I tell you, I love to see these guys booming up. And, you know, Nick Jones is doing some big things in the coaching world. Joe Cox is doing some big things at Alabama, you know. He's doing good. And love to see them guys, them coaches, man. It's a tough profession, and it's good to see them succeed.
Well, if it's any consolation, it sounds like all of y'all going to be back coaching at Georgia any point. It's just one big vacuum cleaner to bring them all back right now.
So. Man, I tell you, that's what I tell all these boys. I'm waiting on them to get a job and get me a job. Stay humble and call them and make them laugh every once in a while, man. Maybe they give me a job.
Yeah, man.
Well, Roos, you got any more questions for Dan?
Well, listen, I ask everybody this who comes on the show. I ask Jake Rowe this. I ask Dross Dellinger this. Dan, you've played, you've coached, you've been an assistant coach, you've been a high school coach. You've done a lot of traveling over your life, and I think everybody has a story for this one. Can you tell me the worst hotel room that you've ever stayed in?
The worst hotel room? Oh, well, that's easy. I was it was in 2002, and we played South Carolina, and it was in Columbia, and we stayed, and my roommate was no other than John Stinchcomb. And, man, we walked in the room, and there was ants crawling all over. And, you know, me, I ain't lying to you. I wasn't going to worry about it. As long as they weren't in the bed, as long as they weren't bothering me. But he flipped his wig, man. And, you know, he was senior All-American. You know, he had a lot of pull, and I just followed along with it, man. He's sitting there raising hell. And I'm just standing back there like a little kid and laugh about it now because it was so funny to watch him blow up, you know.
Yeah, man. 19 years old. You were a kid, dude. That was 20 years
ago. Oh, man. Oh,
20 years
whirlwind.
Ago. Yeah.
Whirlwind. And no better than redshirting, man. I look at that as such a blessing. And
yeah.
Got an extra year. You know, started 4 years after the redshirt. But
getting to travel and redshirt. You know, you got a chance to travel for that game. And then, you know.
Yeah, I got to travel to South Carolina. And then I didn't travel much after that because Big Swoop, you remember Randall Swoop?
I do.
Randall traveled because he carried three centers. Coach Callaway carried three centers. So
right.
I didn't get to travel because we had three tackles with Kareem Marshall and Stinchcomb and Big Foss. So I got to sit back and watch. One of my biggest regrets as a freshman was not going to the Georgia, Florida, man. I had an opportunity. I was redshirting and I've never been as a spectator. Always as a coach and a playing. So it's
maybe
on my bucket list. I got
maybe one day
done.
Dogs HQ get you down there. You
got to get Dan Inman down.
You get Dan Inman down for a tailgate correspondent.
Dude, I'm telling you, and now sober Dan Inman because
yeah,
I don't know if Dan even back in the day would have made it.
Hey, there's a lot of folks haven't, Dan. Is anything you learn about being a spectator for that game is a lot of folks do not make it in.
I tell you what about that game, though, coaching, is that they have the best coaches box. They have sausage dogs and cookies. And
that's where it goes, Roos. All kinds of good food goes.
Yeah. You've been up there, Jake?
Have
you
been up there? No, they don't have anything for us, Dan.
It's garbage.
I've gotten to where I just eat before I go because they
dude, it is like the best coaches spread, man. And it's like sauerkraut and chili and all that, man. Great. And Coach Ball, I'll never forget Coach Ball. He'd get up there and he'd tear it up now. he'd be up there. He had like 4 or 5 cookies.
Oh, man, that cracks me up because I always thought Tony Ball was a take care of your body. The body.
He was, but he saved up for it. He saved up for the Georgia Florida, man.
He saved his calories.
Yeah, Tony he got Ball. An extra workout in that week.
Okay. Dude, thanks so much for coming on, man. It's been a blast.
Hey, man, appreciate it. Appreciate
all right,
it.
Buddy. All right, dude. Go hang out. Hey, also, folks may not know this. Me and Dan were born on the exact same day. We're staring down the barrel of 40, baby. August 9th.
Yeah. Coming. Birthday twin, man. Birthday twin.
God, it's coming. Got
it's turn coming. 40. 40's coming hard.
We get to.
I got a new hip, man. I'm good now. I'm ready to take on the world.
We'll see if we get Russ Tanner to throw us a party.
Yeah. All right, Stump. Be good, bud.
See you, buddy.
Appreciate you guys.
That was fun, man. Dan, Dan's
a cool dude, man.
He is, man. Dan's from
Oh, I don't know, it's great, dude.
I've never been to Hope Mills, but Hope Mills is maybe as country as Pearson, Georgia.
It sounds like it. I'll tell you, I really do. I love offensive linemen.
They're great.
Great personalities. You know, they're easy going for the most part. I don't know. They're just good folks. No,
dude, I'm gonna tell you right now, if we could one day get me, you, Dan Emman, and Ben Cleveland on here, I wonder how quick it would devolve into how much shit that daggone
just boom power. We all just down.
Oh man, it would turn into something just completely ugly. I think we kind of got Jake on Jake in before Dan got with us. We got any parting shots for these people tonight?
Well, I do got one for you tonight.
Okay,
I got a question for you tonight. I was thinking about this one today. What was going to be my Jake on Jake question tonight? So I'm going to get you to power rank three foods for me. Three ethnic foods. All right, Chinese. Okay. Mexican, Italian. Stack them up for me.
That's hard, man. This is hard because if you're talking about just garden variety, Mexican is number one.
I would agree with that.
But if you're talking about ceiling, Mexican's number three.
Also true.
Yeah. So, you know, Mexican's going to be – it's hard to mess it up. It's hard to do it at an extremely high level. I don't know that I've ever had it done at an extremely high level. So consistency, I think if you're putting them together, I would probably put Mexican where it deserves to be in two. And then probably Chinese three, Italian number one. But I do think amazing Chinese is almost impossible to beat.
You know my feelings on
that. And I've had Chinatown, New York City, you know, Chinatown Chinese, and that's some tough stuff to beat right there. Really good Asian food stuff to beat anyway, other than Indian food. And I know, you know, you're going to – that microwave behind you has dealt with so much disgusting tiki masala that I've ever – you know, Roos is such a big Indian food eater. I can't handle it. I can't even get near it.
You're not a big Thai guy either, though.
I'm okay with Thai. It just depends on what it is.
Would you prefer Chinese, don't you?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, prefer Chinese or Japanese. I love sushi. Big sushi guy. I could eat.
I'm a big Japanese guy myself. I'll be honest with you. The Japanese have a curry, outstanding. Okay. Their curry is a little bit different. It's a little different. I've been playing around with it lately. It's awesome.
As long as it smells different, it's the smell that kills me. It's the smell that sends it into orbit. All right, I talked to you about this last night, okay? And I'm going to ask you this question too, because I'm being very selfish when I ask this question because I've been thinking about it all day. I didn't know if I wanted to tell everybody last night. I came out of the closet and I told everybody I drank non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah.
Does it make me less of a man? Because I think it makes me more of a man because I just love the taste of beer. I don't need my senses numbed. I like that taste of that beer. Am I less or more of a man?
No, listen, I'll tell you this. So one of the things that we're going to get to at some point, it may be more in depth, but so in addition to working at Dogs HQ, I also work at a brewery. I work at a brewery down here where I live called Buckball Brewing. Come by and see me sometime. I'll pour you a beer. But there are a lot of people, a lot of longtime regulars that we've had there who have had to switch to non-alcoholic because they've developed gout. And so a lot of that stuff has been starting to crop up. And I'm starting to see a lot more breweries actually pick up non-alcoholic beer for that reason. A lot, there's a ton of various medical conditions that people can't drink because of. And I mean, a lot of people just shouldn't drink. I mean, you know, there are people that, you know, that's their vice. And but they still enjoy the taste of beer. And so I'm with it, man. Listen, I'm not a beer snob. I think that whatever makes you happy, whatever works for you, as long as you're having fun with it, I think that that's all that matters. So I'm down with non-alcoholic beer. I don't know that I've only drank like the super shitty stuff. So like a Heineken Zero or like, you know, there's a Busch non-alcoholic that one of the bars here serves. I need to take – one day you should come. You're going to have to come there, and we're going to do a whole podcast about this bar I'm going to take you to. it's like something out of a Randy Travis song. But it's, you know, I haven't had the good stuff. And it sounds like you are getting into the better non-alcoholic stuff.
I tell you what, man, that Athletic Brewing that I had over the weekend, I really can't get over it how much it tasted like good, you know, like good beer, just good beer. And you know, I've always been that person, man. I mean, I don't know, you know, you and I have set up at the Blind Pig before and had beers for lunch and stuff like that. But, you know, you sit there and, you know, you're eating a big, you know, you have one before you eat your meal. And then, you know, you eat your meal, you eat some Ninja Wings. They're real hot. You want two, maybe. You sit there and, you know, drink three IPAs and you're like, oh, man, I can't go home right now. I'm not in a, you know, a little irresponsible. Okay. Not with a non-alcoholic beer. And I thought about this last night too. I brought this up on the Georgia show. Every Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, check it out. It's our flagship show. We love it. We're a big part of that as well. But I thought about the fact that when I brought it up, I was like, I wonder if people think we're going to be, you know, if we're getting sponsored by Athletic Brewing. We are not. Athletic Brewing, if you want to give us cash and a lot of freaking beer, alcoholic or non, I'll drink the hell out of it. I will get after it.
I'll work for beer. I don't. Yeah, you don't even have to give me money.
A $5 bill in a case.
Yeah, whatever, dude. I don't care. Yeah, send me a case a month, and I'll talk you up all day.
It's good stuff, though. It is really good stuff, and I feel like this show was too. Thank you to Dan Emmon for joining us and basically coming on and saving the show because Roos and I were running it.
Thanks for putting up with all my mess. I got to go over and inform these people of their cell phone location here once we get off of the air. So,
yeah. You might want to call some police backup.
What's crazy is the closest police are the Georgia cops, but they can't service my area because I'm just over the state line. So we got to wait for Polk County to come in and hope that they're in Ducktown. But if they're not, they're over the river in Benton. Take them 45 minutes to get here. If you want to rob a bank, come to Copper Hill. That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm telling you what, right now, brother, that needs to be on the intro drop right there. If you want to rob a bank, come to Copper Hill. All right, fellas, you've heard it first. Jake Roos is the one that gave you the idea, and he will be considered an accomplice if anything happens. This has been Bark After Dark. We've had a blast. Come back, see us next Monday. Make sure you tune in to the Georgia show, 8:30 Wednesday night. We don't know what we're going to be talking about, but it'll be interesting. See y'all. Take care.